Thailand's parliament selected a new prime minister today, a change in leadership aimed at calming down political protests that forced Bangkok's two main airports to close for a while and crippled Thailand's tourist industry. NPR's Michael Sullivan sat down with the country's new prime minister to hear his plans.
Apisit Vetchachiva is exactly what Bangkok's elite has been looking for in a prime minister. He's young, handsome, Oxford-educated, and one of them. He's also a darling of Western investors and governments, too. But he's never led his party to victory, having been thumped by deposed Prime Minister Thaksin's party on several occasions. And that's because the majority of Thais, the rural majority, simply don't like and don't trust the Democrats. Which is why they'd be in opposition still, if not for the airport closures and the abrupt dissolution of the Thaksin-friendly government earlier this month for voter fraud. None of this is lost on the new prime minister.
Obviously, if I could choose the way of getting into power, I'd love to win an election. But having said that, it depends on our performance.
To do that, he'll have to convince Thaksin loyalists that he too understands the needs and aspirations of the rural Thai majority. No small task for a man once booed off the stage and pelted with tomatoes at a campaign appearance at a Thaksin stronghold in the north. But Apisit acknowledges the man he pretty much considers almost pure evil did deliver for the rural poor.
What made Thaksin popular wasn't that he was clean or honest, but that he worked for the people in the eyes of the rural north and northeastern supporters. So we have to prove that he doesn't have this monopoly on addressing people's concerns, on effectively working for the people. But we have to do it in a way that is honest, transparent, and doesn't ruin the system. We've learned the lesson.
In practical terms, that means adopting some of the same strategies that Thaksin employed to woo rural voters.
Crop prices, microcredit, good health care scheme, and more. That's one way of reassuring them that we're here to work for them too. It's quite natural for people who are not my supporters, who might doubt my intentions, but I'm sure that time will prove that I am serious about what I say.
If that happens, it could help heal the deep political divisions in the country that led to the airport closures, what some here describe as a class struggle between the feudal elite in Bangkok and the rural poor, a group largely ignored until Thaksin's arrival. Apisit rejects the notion that he had anything to do with the latest government's fall, but he says that Thaksin-friendly government was simply too corrupt to stay on.
We respect the will of the majority. At the same time, an elected government must stick to principles of good governance, accountability, transparency, and it must not abuse power. And a majority does not give you a license to engage in corrupt practices, abuse human rights, intimidate your opponents.
Maybe so, but some here argue Apisit wouldn't be prime minister either if the Thai military hadn't leaned on some MPs to switch their votes to the Democrats. Apisit now has 3 years to prove he can bring the country together, but few analysts believe he can. For the moment, though, this country's prolonged political crisis seems on hold, and the newly elected prime minister has a message for wary foreign tourists.
I'm sure that the majority of Thai people regret the events of the last month, and that we are doing everything we can to welcome you all back. We've learned our lesson.
Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Bangkok.